He's going to double hair. But considering where we are in the scriptures today, I really felt like it was a good way to remind us of the Lord's Prayer and of various ways in which prayer is used both appropriately and maybe, well, not so well. But some of us may actually find ourselves looking at this video and in some ways go, I have fallen asleep in prayer before. I will admit I've done that. Many of you do have lists, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, you know, they're saying don't have a list. Some of you have learned over the years of how to pray. And for some of you, that has been with the need of many wonderful old English words that we use that might be somewhat like the Victorian age. But there's other things to be aware of practicing prayer. So this morning, I'm going to do a lot of neat things. There's going to be some different things we're going to talk about, some areas that may be new to you, and some things that may feel right at home. How might we make you feel at home in regards to prayer? As many of you know, as we've spent time in our preaching series on what did Jesus do, it's been important that we, by moving from Pastor Mike to myself to Zach and in and around that we keep you in a place of where we're all kind of going in the same direction. That you feel as if, even though you hear three different people speaking over the summer, that somehow there still is a thread that weaves through that keeps you engaged in this particular series. Each of us have a gifting all our own in the way that we preach, and even in the things that we do beyond just the way that we speak. And so for me, as much as I enjoy speaking, you also know how much I love leading worship and how much that is of value, and I enjoy doing that. So today, before we start fully into the message, I'd like you to do something for me. I'd like you to grab the hymnal that is in front of you. And in thought of what exactly we are talking about, and where we are, I think it was appropriate you turn to hymn number 439. And in the interest of no guitar, for some of you it may not be a problem at all that I'm going to sing a cappella. Let's all sing together hymn number 439. There's only two verses, but let's sing together the song Sweet Hour of Prayer. And I'm going to try to do the best I can to start you on key. Are you ready?
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Amen. Amen. It is good to be able to share these songs, to sing and to interact. Singing in itself is a prayer to God as well. And in this particular case, as we look into God's Word, we want to continue to see what it is that Jesus did, so that as we live our life, we can live our life not by asking the question, what would He do, but rather by living in knowing what He did, that we too may emulate that. And so today, as you see our message being practiced, Jesus practiced prayer, please turn into the Scriptures, to our text today, which comes to us from the 11th chapter of the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 through 13. As you turn in your Bibles and we look at God's Word, would you please bow your heads and let's pray together that He would open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds to know more and see more of it. Let's pray. Eternal and mighty God, You're great, wonderful, You're awesome. There is nothing like You, no one like You. We give You praise and honor for it. Lord, we pray right now that our hearts would be quiet, that our minds would be still. For just a moment, Lord, we want to know that You are God. And so now we just will be still and know that You are God. Thank You so much. We look at it now, we study it, read it, we take it into our hearts. Lord, I pray right now before these people that whatever I say and what I do, that it would be from You, Lord, that they would hear nothing but what You want them to know today, that they would be encouraged and yet challenged, that they would be given an opportunity, Lord, to find You in Your Scriptures because You're all over it. May our hearts be tuned to You. And may the words that I share be acceptable in Your sight, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, you would give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. We sang a familiar song, and I want to help you kind of engage in what we're talking about today. And so for some of you, if I were to say to you, what is it that helps you pray? Some of you may say, well, I've learned some prayers over my time in life. And some of you could say you remember the prayer you might have been taught, or maybe by your grandmother or your mom or dad or whoever. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Interesting, this particular prayer seemed to be just a bit difficult maybe for a young child to hear at first, but if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. Good night. Wow. Now, some of you may have actually heard a more recent version. Somebody decided to maybe kind of lessen the intensity of that particular prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Guide me safely through the night and wake me with the morning's light. Amen. Seems maybe a little bit less terminal. Not that there's anything wrong with the Lord knowing that we would want Him to take our soul if we were to pass. Some may have heard Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. But if I should live another day, we don't want to stop there. I pray the Lord to guide my way. Bedtime prayers for our young children. Some of you may remember dinner prayers. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. Amen. Some may even continue on. And as I learned later on in life, by His hands we all are fed. Thank you, God, for daily bread. Which is interesting because in that, we just heard the Lord teach His disciples, give us our daily bread. So there's some goodness in that particular prayer. Some have even decided to take Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star and put the song, that song, to the God is great. They sing Twinkle, Little Star song. I'm not going to sing anymore for you. Some may have also heard the dinner prayers. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food to us be blessed. And some traditions have even added, and may there be a goodly share on every table, everywhere. My grandmother had a placard on her table. It was a hard metal iron. You could like put stuff on top of it, like a hot plate, so to speak. And on it was a blessing for grace that I remember that says, bless, O Lord, this food to our use and us to thy service, and make us ever mindful of the needs of others. Amen. And last in dinner prayers, thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, God, for everything. Some of those seem so simple. And yet, without calling anybody out, if I were to specifically say, would you please pray for the meal today? Oh no, not me. I don't know how to pray. But yet, some of you I noticed as I was saying this, what's wrong with being asked to pray and just go, God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. Leave it at that. Something to think about. The serenity prayer. Some of you may even ask for the serenity prayer when asked to pray. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The prayer actually goes on quite much further beyond that for the person that wrote it, but that's the particular part of the prayer that I know most people remember. Finally, in number 6, we get a prayer of blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Psalm 23, we heard preached last Sunday. And in some cases, it could be considered a prayer of song that you might sing the Lord's Prayer, the Psalm 23. We spent some time looking at that Psalm last week. And so this week, we find our disciples coming to Jesus and asking, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, we've already had some things we've already seen in Scripture before this. What has the Lord already taught them? Well, He's given them the authority to cast out demons, to share the gospel, and to heal the sick. And at this particular point, the disciples ask, Lord, will you teach us to pray? I would suspect that the disciples were probably praying on many occasions before this, because in many ways, the casting out of demons or the healing of the sick. I mean, do we not pray? Do we not gather the elders together and lay hands on the sick that they might be healed of their... What are we doing when we do that? We're praying. Lord, be present now that this person might be healed. So it's not to say the disciples had no idea of how to pray, but there was something in particular they were asking. Like, can you give us a depth of the praying that you do? Or, I think we got it, but would you teach us a little bit more about what it means to pray? And even in that, they say, as John taught his disciples, there's a connection in that sort of thing. That they've seen John's disciples praying and John doing things. And which John is this? Well, this is John the Baptist. And Jesus has followed behind John in his ministry. John has come out of that ministry time, and now Jesus is in full ministry. Where are we in this? Well, actually, it's also important to know where Jesus is in this situation. Because right at this point, it's about the time where Jesus has now turned His face to Jerusalem. For what? Well, that time is now coming where He's going to transit from Jericho to Jerusalem for Passover. Jesus has turned His face towards Jerusalem, and is now the travel is going. And I found it very interesting as I watched Day of Discovery, and the actual view of this, you can think of this, I can only give you an imagination in the sense of they're on the Jordan River passing, and now they come off the Jordan and start this travel on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. Now, anybody that's ever been or ever thought of or ever looked at anything in Scripture in regards to that travel, it's not very nice. It's very dry. It's very mountainous. They have a rough road from that point on to Jerusalem. And so at this point, that's where we're at in our story. Only Luke and Matthew record the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew is actually recorded as a part of the Sermon on the Mount, where you find him preach the Beatitudes and then continue on all these things put together from Matthew's account. And then you notice too that the Lord's Prayer that I read in Luke seems like it might be missing some things. We have other words that we may use or may remember from learning the Lord's Prayer ourselves, but this particular one seems sort of more compact. In the prayer itself, there are several words in the Greek that I want you to pay attention to. I'm not going to try to pronounce them, and I'm not going to actually read it to you in Greek, but there is something I want you to note that is very exciting about the way that this prayer is presented. The imperative form is used quite often in this. Now, if I said imperative to you, what would you think? It's imperative that you, whatever. There's like stress. There's like power in that, per se. Okay? Well, what's imperative in this? He said to them, looking back in your Bibles, starting in verse 2, as I look at the scriptures here, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. That word hallowed in the Greek is in the imperative verb tense. He continues, your kingdom come, imperative. Give us each day our daily bread. Give, imperative. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Forgive, imperative. Now, when we read this, do we see this is imperative. We miss that. So the reason why we look at things like the Greek and the Hebrew is not so that us folks up here that go to school and all that can give you some great scholarly knowledge of language that, to be quite honest with you, Greek was not my favorite subject. and for those of you that heard my laments of Greek, you know that. But it's to be able to kind of see some of the things that we don't catch, because we don't necessarily see that without knowing that language. What does that mean? Does it mean that we say it with authority and you know, like almost with a disrespect? You know, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us our bread. You know, I mean, no, that's not the point. Imperative, that mood normally expresses a command or an intention or an exhortation or a polite request. The imperative mood is therefore not an expression of reality, but of possibility. How does that work into you when you pray this prayer? That you see that the Lord has taught his disciples, when you pray, pray with authority, with that sense of, Lord, you know what our needs are, so give us what we need daily. Not our wants, but our needs. Lord, may your name be holy. Lord, may your kingdom reign and come in this place. Not with, I hope so, with, let it be. Amen? So what do we see in here? Well, interestingly enough, there's some things that we can gain from this. And some of you may have actually heard of these particular ways in which Jesus gives us an understanding of this particular scripture. The first thing is Jesus practices prayer. And what I want to do is just quickly note something to you. Because Pastor Mike gave me this, and I looked over this and looked over this, and I was just like, this is amazing. I actually sat and underline this page on the ways that Jesus practiced prayer. Just these words I'm going to read out of Scripture. I'm not going to tell you where they're at. Just listen. He went away. He left them very early in the morning, still dark, went off to a solitary place, went up on a mountainside. Going a little further, he fell to the ground, went away, withdrew to a lonely place, went up on a mountainside, spent the night in private, went up on a mountain. In a certain place, we saw that in our scripture today, he withdrew. Now, what's the practice that you're seeing in this? Well, definitely we see over and over again, he seems to find a way to get on a mountaintop. And maybe that's not something that you can find necessarily around here. We're not necessarily sure how, did he go on Mount Tabor or where was it dependent on where he was, obviously. There could have been situations where he was on very high mountains. Or maybe as it says, he withdrew to a lonely place. Okay? The disciples see this. How many times do we even see situations where the disciples are like, hey, we're looking for you. Where is he?
Praying.
He's in that place. He knows how important it is to get away. He practices that prayer. Now, there's also a pattern of prayer that he has. That being, and particularly in this case, you can see the pattern of kingdom and then bread and forgive and no trial. I mean, that's just kind of bam, 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 just straight through the Lord's Prayer as it's seen in Luke. But that sort of situation for some of us may be like, okay, so that could be a pattern in which we pray. Another one that some of you may have heard, and I think I've even at one point in time maybe even preached it here, is the prayer using the word acts. Adore or give adoration to God, confess your sins, give thanksgiving to God, and then supplication at the end, which usually is, as we saw with this one particular video, the lister. Okay, the supplications being those things that we kind of have on our prayer list to pray for people or things that we are praying specifically about for God. But notice that comes last. We still give God adoration. We confess our sins. We give thanks to God. And then we bring those things before Him. We also see something that's kind of interesting. And I want you to turn back in your scripture again and look at this parable, because this parable is kind of interesting in the way that Jesus uses it to share what he's trying to express. There's a persistence, okay? Notice he says that, suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. Notice, you're going to a friend's house. You would say to him, a friend of mine, so now we have a friend's house and you're talking about another friend, okay? A friend of mine has just arrived. Make sure I'm in the right spot here. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one on the inside would say, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed and I can't get up and give you anything. Okay. I tell you though, he will not get up and give him bread because he is his friend. There's that word friend again. Yet because of this man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Boldness or persistence. I mean, I suppose you could, I still need bread. You know, he's not giving up. Now, there are some interesting places in this particular spot, because some would say, so then I just keep praying the same thing over and over again. That's persistence. Heal my mom. Help my brother. Help my sister. I mean, without the heart behind it, it becomes just a kind of a redundancy of over and over again saying it. And the persistence is lacking really in that. It's the idea that in this particular case, the parable really shows how the person trusts not only the friend that's inside that he understands his relationship, but also trusts that he understands that if it were the other way around, that he would be okay with him coming to him, being persistent enough to say, I really need your help, Lord. See, now we shift it. I really need you, Lord, to help me in this. I've not forgotten that my grandmother is ill. Please, Lord, continue to bring healing to her. Lord, I cannot pay the bills. I know this is the 31st time in the month that I've shared it. There's only 30 days in the month. No. There is this sense over and over again that you are persistent, prayer, because the Lord does know what we need. But he also wants to know that we are consistently desiring to bring to him our needs and our concerns. There's so many places in the Bible where it specifically states that if he'll take care of the birds of the air or the other things in this world, will he not take care of us? Here's the interesting thing I want you to see that maybe you've not heard that we can really kind of take from you. Jesus taught prayer. Jesus taught prayer. Not just how, but also where and in what way and why. Do you yourself emulate a pattern of prayer? That question's been working on me over and over again this week. When you think of prayer, how do you see that? Do you only see it as going off in your lonely place, mountaintop, prayer closet, whatever it may be? Because it's interesting, when we look at scripture, there are situations where Jesus specifically says, do not stand in the courtyards and pray with grandiose words and all these things. And so some would say, so I'm only going to pray in private. But then what do you do when you're at the restaurant and it's time to pray for your meal? Well, this isn't a private place. I'm not on a mountaintop. It's not lonely. There's lots of people around. Hey, Mom, are we going to pray? Just pray yourself. Sometimes that's where we go because we don't want to be too big about it. I mean, you're not going to possibly stand up in a restaurant and say, excuse me, would everybody please be silent for a minute? We're going to pray. That would be kind of scary. It could create a very uncomfortable time, particularly if you have teenagers who will be like, oh my gosh, I'm out of here. Okay? But yet, on the other side of it, are you persistent enough with praying that you're not afraid to take a moment to stop, join hands, bow your head, whatever it is, and say, God is great. God is good. Let us thank you. You don't have to bring undue attention to yourself, but you certainly don't have to hide it like it's some secret moment. Because I believe that even Jesus, while walking, would then, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would heal this man of his blindness. Did he take the blind man off to a lonely place so he could pray with him and give him his sight back? No. He taught prayer by emulating not only the pattern of prayer, but also the practice of prayer, and also the persistence in prayer. Those things are still valuable in us, but the important part that I want you to walk away with is that part that you teach it. Are you sharing prayer with others? Or are you so afraid to pray or get it wrong or do it like those guys did that you don't pray at all? What we can gain from this is the understanding that our prayers are important, that praying is important, and that we should not only be doing it, but we should be teaching it as well, sharing it with our families, sharing it with our young people, teaching those that have just come to know the Lord how to pray so that they don't get in that awkward moment in life where somebody goes, oh, you're a Christian. Why don't you pray for the meal? And they go, I don't know what to do. Let's take for just a moment as we finish this, and I want to just look at, in particular, a little bit of what we saw in the video, just to make sure we don't lose sight of where we're at. See, you first saw the nocturnal, right? One that prays before he goes to sleep, or sleeps while he prays, or whatever it may be. Do you give God your attention? Don't come to him at the end of the day and give him the last of your energy. It should be time to pray that would make sure that you are attentive, because wouldn't you have a difficulty if you were to sit down, Lord, let's pray together. And the next thing you know, as you're sitting praying, or let's say you're just talking to somebody. I mean, I've had this happen to me. Let's say you're talking to somebody on the phone. You've waited until 10 o'clock at night to call them. Next thing you know, you hear, hello, are you still there? Been there, done that. I've actually done it to people before, sorry to say. If you wait until the last minute to talk to somebody, and it's like 10, 11 o'clock at night, maybe even later for some of you that love the midnight hour, you're going to fall off. And you'll end up being salt and light, light, salt. You're gone. Don't give God your last. And be careful too. Don't give him the first of your day. I'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. If you're not a 4 o'clock in the morning kind of person, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray is going to end up, Heavenly Father, and you're gone. You're right back asleep again. Prayer is a means of communication, a time to talk to God. Make it real. And be willing not only to give God your best, but recognize that he wants to talk to you. How about the New Ager? Positioning himself into that whatever with his legs. Positioning yourself is important. Notice that Jesus does show us that he goes off, or that he bends his knee. He bowed down and prayed, particularly at the time when he was in the garden and speaking with the Father at that time when it's going to be the most intense. He knows what's coming and going to the cross. Yes, there are positions. But here we are with a prayer walk. I think I even put it in my... Yes, I did. We've got a prayer walk. And one of the first things that I realized quite often with many of us, and some of our students recognize this, when we were talking about doing a prayer walk in our missions trip, and it was like, so is it okay to leave my eyes open? I would hope so. You might fall over if you don't. We have certain things in positioning. Many people would say, okay, where are we going to pray? Okay, we're going to sit down, close our eyes, bow our heads, fold our hands. I mean, this is not a bad position. Don't misunderstand me. But if I'm going to do a prayer walk, I can't do that, or I'm going to end up falling off a cliff. There are certain times when positioning ourselves in prayer depends on how we're praying and what we're doing in that prayer time. So know that there will be circumstances where praying takes a different shape. Sometimes you need to pray with somebody and you need to keep your eyes open so that you can sense where they are in that time of prayer. And particularly if they are sensitive to something, you may want to stay focused on how they're responding. That was something that we were taught with regards to praying for people specifically when they're hurting. There are other situations where you do want to take a very quiet, very reserved, very, I don't want anything to distract me. That's why we close our eyes. For those of us that have attention deficit, closing our eyes is very good. How about the Victorian? The version of the Lord's Prayer in this passage is simple and made with few words. Luke 18 tells the story of the Pharisee standing up. I'm glad I'm not like sinners and this tax collector guy behind me. And what does the tax collector say? Lord God, forgive me, a sinner. Here's the point. All your words aren't going to make suddenly God to listen to you more because you talk a lot. Matter of fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 2, it says, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven. You are on earth. So let your words be few. I like the fact that finally, as we look at the end of this, that no matter what, it's important that we just find that place where we can be able to talk to God in a way that lets Him know that we understand where we're at and what we're doing. We also understand what He wants to do in our life. And so the last one that we see is the lister. Taking down notes and names to remember people and their prayer concerns is good, particularly for those that don't remember things very well, names and situations. But it should not be the key part of our prayer. First, give God the respect and honor He's due. Confess your sins, and then bring those petitions and prayers to God. The Father knows your needs. Here's the end. Practice prayer and teach it. Make sure you don't just practice it. When your kids ask, how do you pray? Share with them. When a discipling situation comes about, make sure that you don't just teach them how to walk in faith, but teach them a little bit about prayer. It's that essence of communication between God and the new disciple, Christ. It's a time of communication between the one that they have faith in. If they don't learn prayer, then how are they strengthening their faith and able to have that time of communication with God? Don't hesitate to exercise prayer either and emulate prayer to others. Come out for this prayer walk. It's a great opportunity. And this isn't a commercial. This isn't just about Christ community being seen in Bailey Lakes. This could be about you being stretched and strengthened in your own faith, your own walk, your own ability to say, I'm going to pray for others. I'm going to do what Jesus did. And with that, let's pray. God, Lord, I pray that we see even now the importance of your word, the simplicity of it. And so, Lord, I just pray right now. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day and every day our daily bread. Lord, save us from temptation. Keep us from it in that time of trial. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We praise you. We give you honor in Jesus' name.